Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I would be here with Terry, but Terry is unavailable tonight, and we have a substitute who's going to be on the program with us, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world, as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Also, guests and callers who, in addition to expressing their thoughts, keep their ears to the ground, talk to other people, and really try to use critical thought to get a handle on what's going on these days. What we do here in this program is we give people a voice who feel left in the dust. Our program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, reading, and certainly social awareness. Go ahead and write down this telephone number and give me and my co-host a call to share your thoughts on our discussion stirring topics on tonight's Hell No episode. Telephone number is area code 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1 on the telephone keypad. Telephone number again is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take calls in the order we receive them. So please sit tight. And, of course, I want to remind everybody that we can be receiving an email from anyone, anytime, at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. Also, find all our episodes on demand on our Facebook page, facebook.com/hellnotheradioshow, and follow us on our Twitter page, at hellnoradioshow. Personal support for Hell No the Radio Show comes from our sponsors. Normally, Terry would tell us about them, but I'm going to announce our sponsors now. Our sponsor for tonight's episode is Ms. Jane Flint from Healthcare Massage and Skincare Services in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's located at 3044 South 92nd Street in Milwaukee. As Terry has told us many, many times before, anyone in that area knows of Jane, knows that she is one of the premier body workers and massage therapists in the Midwest. She's worked on tremendously famous people as well as people in the neighborhood. She's a good person. You'll get 10% off your visit if you mention that you heard about Healthcare Massage and Skincare Services here on Hell No, the radio show. So, moving on tonight, I'm going to run down a list of our exciting topics and then pull in a couple guests. We have a couple guests who are going to help do the show tonight. Terry, unfortunately, is dealing with a temporary medical condition, and so he sends his best wishes and is sorry he couldn't be here tonight. Our discussion topics, first thing we're going to talk about is Rest in Peace, the Valedictorians, Dodgeball, Boys and Girls, and other things coming out of the world of education. Some interesting news that I heard today really kind of shocked the conscience. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about computer viruses and some safety tips to avoid hackers. Things have been going around lately, and not everything that looks safe on your computer is safe. Lots of tricks they play. We'll also talk about the case of the little boy who got stuck in the gorilla cage. The gorilla was put down, and apparently the boy's parents are suing now. We'll talk about insurance. How much insurance do we need, and how good is it? If our insurance company doesn't pay our claims, doesn't do its most good. We'll talk about surviving the upcoming election months as people are getting more and more polarized, and the media is getting us more and more stirred up. How can we survive and keep some of our friends and family intact, even if they're on the other side of the fence politically? We'll talk about an interesting topic about when it's okay or suggested to be okay to go back to ex-spouses, ex-girlfriends, boyfriends, etc. We'll give a few tips on defensive driving for the early summer travel season. We'll also talk about appreciating antiques and sort of blending the old with the new. In passing personages, we'll talk about Marcus Gordon, who was the judge in the Mississippi burning trial. He has recently departed. And we have music tonight, Summertime by Ella Fitzgerald. So, moving forward, I'm going to go ahead and take a first caller who I'm going to go ahead and apologize right now that this caller is a relative of mine, and I hope that people can tell our voices apart. You know, I'm the one with the nice voice, and I don't know about this other guy whose telephone ends in 0951. 0951, go ahead.
Really nicer voice.
Yes, nicer voice. I was interested in, so I'm just going to start by telling the story that I heard today, and I almost flew off the highway as I was driving. And our other caller, we're going to bring our other caller in here in a minute. But what I heard was Plano East High School is deciding that they're not allowing students who have won awards or are being rewarded for their academic excellence, they're not allowed to wear the sashes. They did not specifically say the valedictorian was not going to be there, but many schools, I think Yale University canceled their valedictorian speech. And my statement, here's another one. Fort Worth Independent School District, who's coming under huge fire by the Attorney General here in the state of Texas over the bathroom policies. And another one of their policies, I believe that it was Fort Worth ISD, was that they no longer wanted educators to use the words boys and girls to only refer to them as students and scholars. So we take away, and I'm assuming that dodgeball has been gone, you know, since the beginning of time, you know, or since probably I was the last one who graduated, you know, from sixth grade playing dodgeball, but no valedictorians, no showing honors. It's stripping the incentive for competition among youngins these days, and it's not. I don't know what's next. I don't know if this goes to sports because there's a winner and a loser. We have a football game. Anything that can be. I mean, grading itself holding a kid back because he got a failing grade. That kid could feel poorly about himself. I mean, how far does this go? And, I mean, some of us were joking about the PC movement getting out of control, but, and I don't know who they are, but whoever they are seem to be accelerating with this and, you know, coming up with more and more as we go along. Anyways, caller, what are your thoughts? What have you seen?
Well, I've seen a lot of things, and actually one of the, speaking of the valedictorians, I believe it was Wake County in North Carolina. I read about that today. That the entire school district ended their valedictorian program where there aren't going to be valedictorians, not just being celebrated, but they won't exist. Everybody gets a gold star. I think it's personally it's disgusting because if you think about it from a I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, I've thought about these things my whole life. Competition is healthy and absolutely necessary for human growth. If you don't fail, you don't succeed. Success comes from failure. So if you protect everybody from failing or feeling bad, you're going to end up with people that don't have any critical thought skills, don't have any competition skills. They're not going to have any skills. They're just going to be part of a wave of people that have no thought process. It's terrifying
now,
for me to see this going this way.
If you're pushing socialism, though, let's just throw this out
for
argument's
sake.
That's
what you
want. You want to dumb down your populace, not have anyone be the winner or the loser. Everyone sort of be right there, humdrum, in the middle. Let's bring one of our callers online this is a hot one. Interesting topic. A lot of people are talking about this. This caller's telephone number ends in the digits 6838. 6838. Caller, you're on the air with Nick and Matt. How are you tonight, ma'am?
Hi. It's nice to see. Nice to talk to both of you. Yes, I have a lot to say about this issue. Being in the psychiatric profession, it is the situations that we are put in life that do create the basic fundamental building stones of our character development. And some of that we get at home before we go to school. And but we are a or were a goal-driven society. How do you become goal-driven? You are validated and rewarded on what you become good at, what you enjoy doing, and if there's a way of blending those things. And you begin to tweeze out the stuff you're not good at. Lord knows I would never be a physicist. Wouldn't attempt to be. Okay? We're not all born equal. The great myth. We're not born equal when it comes to attributes and abilities. And I'm saying that beyond, that has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with social class, it has nothing to do with any of that. It is just the essence of how we are as human beings. And
you know, I wonder,
it is those experiences. Go ahead.
I would just wonder about animals. When we look at animals, I mean, animals are not born equal. There's always the, like they say, the runt of the litter. The runt of the litter is not leading the pack hunting. It's a natural, it's just a natural occurrence. And I just, you know, so I wonder, so the things that I think about then, do you, well, I made a Facebook post today and I said, I would scrub toilets if I had to raise the money to send my kid to private school. And, you know, there's now homeschool also is an option there too. And it just, I don't know what's the best route to educate our kids. And there's such a variety of thoughts there. It's just, but the public school system, I just don't see it coming back.
I remember, during desegregation of schools and the integration of schools, that there was, particularly in the South, there was the development of private Christian schools. And that development came out of really exploiting culture with fear of what might happen, or with everybody's kind of institutionalized fears. And I see where this is going. We're potentially going back into that kind of scenario. And I don't know that the private school kids win. I don't know who wins in that.
I can remember when the debate came up when I was young, whether my brothers and I would go to public or private school. My mother was a physical education teacher, and she was a very strong supporter of us going to public school because she wanted us to associate with all different kinds of kids, because in the real life, in the real world, you are going to meet all different kinds of kids. Yet, the funny thing, here's a funny way to look at an experience. For me, I went through public schools. I was lucky to live in a town that had good schools. And then I went to private colleges and private college and private law school. And the what's the reality is that in my profession, and not to sound elitist, but I normally don't really have many interactions with people who aren't professionals, degreed, you know, not necessarily have to be lawyers, but very, very rarely do I, you know, spend a lot of time with people who don't have the education. I mean, I guess the point I'm making is I'm still in the little bubble that if they would have put me in the private school, I would have stayed in the same bubble regardless, likely, maybe not, I don't know, but that was, at least in my family's, my mom's at least, her big thing was wanting us to, you know, go to private, you know, public school, but mom was also a Democrat and, you know, was a school teacher, and, you know, that was her thing. But I just don't know anymore that the quality is going to be there with the, you know, the Common Core thing. And then, you know, those of our states who don't take funding, and that's the thing that what, and I haven't followed much of the, you know, what Obama says or does, you know, with the funding, because it just kind of drives me up a wall. So I stay away from a lot of it, but what I heard was he's basically telling a lot of these schools, in order to continue receiving federal funding, they need to abide by all these different directives. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, like the food program.
I
don't know
no
what,
longer have a
more about that.
Oh, this is actually Michelle Obama's thing, one of the things she's in charge of. In the public schools, they can remove funding and fine the schools if they have anything unhealthy for public school kids. I don't think it's every district. I don't know because I'm not that age anymore. But I read quite a bit about it where if they're serving unhealthy things on a consistent basis, like too much pizza, the Obama administration, through Michelle, will fine the school and possibly withhold funding.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with kids? I mean, don't kids need to eat cupcakes? I mean, I don't think they need to only eat cupcakes, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, I thought about something interesting while you were talking. Oh, sorry. I was just going to point out, my position in life, I'm a recruiter, a professional recruiter. It's what I do. How is my job going to even be relevant if everyone's the same? There's no way to judge or mitigate who or figure out who is good at what because they're all the same.
Right.
Make sense?
it makes, you know, what
I'd like
what
to have a career, so I hope this stops.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You were going to say, ma'am?
I think I said it.
Where do we? I know that we're in a political year, and then we'll move on to another
mm-hmm.
topic. But I know we're in a political year, and I know that a lot of the things that are getting served up in front of us are there to incite us to engage each other in debate. It's not always healthy debate, and ultimately go and vote. I just don't know how serious this problem really is. If this is just a few, you know, do we have just a few schools who are taking an extreme viewpoint on this? I mean, I'm assuming that the majority of the schools will still have valedictorians, and they're still going to have not dodgeball necessarily, but they're still going to have the sashes for the academic awards. I just hope that, you know, we always talk about what can we do immediately. Well, people can go to their school board, and people can go to, you know, those meetings and talk about it. And if a discussion comes up, whether the district should still have a valedictorian, that's where people should stand up and say their piece, I think.
I absolutely agree with that. I think they should go to the school board. Most school boards also have their own state ombudsman. And so I think that's another resource that they can access. And if there are local, not local chapters, but their state board of social services and child welfare services, contact those agencies with those concerns as well.
Very good suggestion there. Let's jump into insurance because I know that our caller had a story to share. And before we jump into that, I just want to say to people that although the state requires us oftentimes to have minimum insurance requirements for our cars and, you know, home and whatnot, your policy is only good as the company is going to pay it. And that's something that I learned when I was in law school, when I worked at a firm where my job was to look for reasons to deny people's claims. And, you know, there's so much that's in that insurance policy. And I had one where I had a claim denied because I was in college and I had roommates living in a rented house and they weren't disclosed on my policy and had a minor car wreck and they denied me. And I believe it was State Farm who denied me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Cole, are you at a story?
I do have a story, and it's a story that is not ended. It is a nightmare, and I'm still in the maze of this nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
It began in December, and in December I called my State Farm agent and added two cars to a policy for 6 months and paid 6 months on those two vehicles. And then on another vehicle, that's the more expendable vehicle and the vehicle that gets used by I live on a compound with my family. So I shouldn't say compound. That makes it sound like I was living on a farm with my family. And so we'll use that particular vehicle. So I put that on a monthly account.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 2 months in February for me to, and I keep calling to determine, I know I owe a monthly bill on that account. And so finally in February, I call the agent, and the agent speaks to me and says, yes, I owe on a homeowner's policy. And I said, oh, yes, okay, and I paid that. And I said, but I should owe on a vehicle. Oh, no, it shows you're fine right now. And so I wait a little while, and I'm just thinking, that's just not right. And so I call, try to get the agent to come back, and on the phone. I can't get the agent. I get a cancellation notice where they have canceled the insurance on one of the new vehicles that I added, and one of the vehicles that had been on the policy, and because I hadn't paid. And so at that point in time, tried to get it cleared up immediately with State Farm. And the agent assured me that it would be handled. Apparently, the agent's secretary or another person made a call to underwriting. Underwriting apparently saw what the problem was, and they went in to fix the problem. And by fixing the problem, what they did is reinstate the policies that were active prior to December, which left me completely uninsured on the vehicle that I'm driving around in.
Okay.
And the vehicle that my minor child is driving around in. I keep calling the agent, and I keep getting the runaround to the point that I was livid when they called me and said that I owed an additional $600 and something payable by 2 days, and I had it. So I took my video camera with me into the agent's office and made sure everybody knew I was videotaping the whole thing, and I videotaped the way I was treated, the argumentativeness of the person who was dealing with me at first. I even had rebate checks. And they kept telling me that I never had six-month policies, that they never existed. They were laughing at me. And so, again, I'm waiting on the agent to get off a conference call or a phone call. And I sat there probably ignored for about an hour and a half. And the agent comes and gets me. I record everything he says. Because, again, it is an argument that he basically doesn't believe the thing I say. All they can see is where I have a monthly payment plan on a vehicle that I paid for in December for 6 months. And then they want to take $600 from me on an insurance policy on a car that I no longer even own, and which I called the insurance commission. And the insurance commission at that point told me to pay that amount, so they had no reason to cancel my policy. And I turned around and made a report to the insurance commission. And I turned around and made a report to the Better Business Bureau. And they turned around and contacted State Farm. And State Farm sent them a nice little form letter, and everything got closed, saying that everything had been resolved. And a conversation with me on approximately May 13th. Well, that didn't happen. And the issue remains unresolved to this day. I have sent State Farm executive level and divisional level. They have the videotape and they have an audio of everything that happened and how I was treated. My expectations from State Farm, minimally, at this point, I have probably 100, 200 hours in this. I'm the only one advocating for myself. My insurance company surely isn't. And my expectations was that I want a zero balance because I didn't screw this up. And if it hadn't been for me, I don't know how long it would have gone on or what would have happened. But no, nothing has happened.
So did you go to, in the meantime, are you with another provider?
Yes, I did go with another provider.
Okay,
yes.
So if
and
something
I,
happened,
yes.
you at least would be covered.
Yes, yes,
right,
I am yes, smart mm-hmm. enough to do that, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I
mean,
insurance when you're insured.
Mm-hmm. Nick, this is why my insurance, something, well, not this exact situation, recently why I changed my insurance, it was about people not, or setting up the policy, saying things were a certain way, and then I even told this lady on the phone, she was talking about the safe driver stuff, that thing you plug into your car, and I told her I read a bunch of reports that they deny claims based on those, based on if you're in an accident, they're like, nope, that was a 55, you were going 60, we're denying your claim. Or you break too fast, so you're at fault for the accident,
mm-hmm.
when it could have been something else. I don't like things tracking what I'm doing, you know? So
right.
I told them that on the phone, setting up the policy, but they based my policy, the amount on it, on what I wanted to pay, but then they said, you got to plug your device in. They mailed me this thing. I said, I'm not doing that. I didn't want this. Let me send it back. And they're like, well, then your insurance goes up $100.
So they're trying to hold you hostage.
Yeah. So, and now that I'm with a new company and my policy was canceled and I explained it was based on somebody misinforming me on a recorded line. I'm like, I know it was a recorded line. They told me. I've worked in companies like that. And like, no. And I get a letter saying I owe for the remaining 6 months on the policy when I was only with them for less than a month. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and you're stuck. I mean, it is a...
It's your word against theirs, and they've got all the high-priced lawyers.
And, I mean, I even have videotapes. You know, I mean, how much more raw evidence, and they're completely unedited, and how much more evidence would someone need if I were an administrator? I was an administrator in a hospital. I would want to know. Sometimes I would just go walk through and say, admit me. And I wanted to see how things flowed, how it was handled. It seems like State Farm would want to know what's going on inside their agency.
Right.
But with an agent and take care. What happened to their motto, like a good neighbor?
Right. Well, you know, it sounds like your situation
like the wrong neighborhood.
Could be... This situation that you're describing is one where the file, so to speak, if there's a file on this, the file is icky and confusing, and there's so many notes to read that the next person that you talk to doesn't know what happened. They don't want to say the wrong thing, so they end up sort of getting frozen like a deer in headlights. You almost need someone in loss, you know, I don't know what type of loss mitigation or one of the lawyers to get involved and to look at this and say, what exactly happened here? Because what you're describing would be a good opportunity for them to fix their broken system to the extent they've got a broken system there. I heard a commercial from a bank today that said, I think it was Frost Bank, and I don't know what they've been in the news for, but Frost Bank apparently was apologizing to their customers and shareholders that they ought like to listen to customers and shareholders so they can find out how to do a better job. And I think that companies like State Farm could, fix. I think it's really the quality of training and the quality of staff. And this goes back to a discussion that we had about social services and how social service professionals had discretionary power to work a case, make decisions, and be a point person, where now that's not the case. And I think that with the insurance company and the debacle that you're describing, I think it's a similar breakdown.
And I think that's a very good statement. And I'm going back to the customer service years where I was in hospital administration. Those were the late 80s and the 90s, and hospitality and customer service was king. And I think that what you're saying is very, very true, that individuals don't have that type of background anymore. And where is a training ground? And the training ground comes from opportunities like this. And but unfortunately, I don't think that happened.
Yeah. You know, I'm hopeful that there is sort of a backlash to problems like this, where society kind of circles around and, you know, goes back to doing things correctly. Sometimes I think about, you know, social media, for example. Everyone was addicted to Facebook almost immediately, and they're just like doing it all the time, and everything's through an event, and if it's not through Facebook, I can't talk to you. And people have gotten back to, I see a lot of things in the world of business communication, and the courses taught on, you know, the power of emails and sending, you know, email communications. And so I guess my point is that sometimes when we have certain problems with things in business, that, with State Farm, for example, and these types of customer service problems, efforts will be made to bring people back to an educated and a, you know, responsible state of mind in the workplace. You know, we have more people who are now, you know, they're bringing a lot of the call centers back from overseas, where we at least have people who we can understand on the phone. I don't know. I hope that things like this do get better, because people do. Consumers can research now, and they can look up and find out who are the good companies, and they hear things like State Farm. Someone listening to my program might say, you know what, I had a problem with them too. I don't really like that company. I think I'm done with them. Yes, I think their commercials are jazzy, and I like those, but, you know.
I started researching. There's a lot of information out there about breach of trust with State Farm, and so there's some information out there.
Right, and you know, sometimes it's a bottom line dollar. It's, you know, what may the almighty dollar is the bottom line, and not, you know, and if you have to pay out a few bad faith claims, so be it. It's cheaper to have the cheap workers, and that may be a business decision that they made.
Hey, what about this? Oh, go ahead.
One other thing, when you said bottom line, and I think that there's a difference now, and you hit upon it a little earlier. There's not a bottom line person anymore. Back in the days of old, in my days, you could get to a bottom line person within that hospital that could make, there were several of us that could make bottom-line decisions. And going through agencies now, unless it's a small business, you cannot get to the bottom-line decision-maker. You go through a maze. And for the average person, like myself, it is absolutely mind-boggling. How many hoops you jump through and whatever, trying to find the bottom line person and then realizing there is not really a bottom, you're never going to get there.
I would agree with that.
It's a challenging world.
Hey,
we live in.
Nick, to what you were saying before, this brought up the earlier part of the show, where you're like, maybe it's going to get better. Maybe there's going to be training. There's going to be, you know, information. And we can get the work, you know, companies like the insurance companies or whoever, you know, for people to actually start doing what they're supposed to be doing, being trained properly and so on. And I thought back to our original discussion about how every kid nowadays is getting a golden star for everything. And, you know, you're taking away the competition. You're taking away the ability to make anybody feel bad. They've never learned how to deal with a situation. Well, if that's the future of this country or the future of business, this problem's not going to get better. It's going to get 10 times worse.
Well, or we're just a little more careful on who we hire. Look into the background more. But before
that's
we talk,
why I'm
it's
proud
time
of
for
being a recruiter.
Time for our summer music, and we're going to talk a little bit about summer is here. I'll share a couple of thoughts about summertime and what it means to most people, what it means to those of us on the call. I think all of us are in the South, and at least here in Texas, I don't know about South Carolina, but summertime means being in the shade, not burning your fingers in the door of the truck. You know, we curse summer here. We're like, oh, no, the nice weather is
ending. Spitting watermelon seeds.
Spitting watermelon seeds. Here we got Ella Fitzgerald. Summertime.
Summertime.
Summertime. And the living. The cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby.
That's what the song says. Living easy.
Exactly. Slow down, enjoy the music, let the fans spin above your head, and don't drop your iced tea, because the condensation outside, it gets so humid, you can drop your drink. But summertime, it's almost here. We've been fortunate to have cooler weather and rain. And one of these days, about a week from now, it's just going to flip like a switch, and that'll be it. And our grass, we won't have to worry about cutting it anymore for a while. We'll go to scorched earth. But I just wanted to share just a thought about taking time to appreciate good weather in the summer. And one thing that I did this last weekend was float in the lake in the inner tubes. I have an anchor, and some people make fun of it. They say, why are you taking an anchor out in an inner tube? Well, if you go over by the boat ramp and you paddle out there by the boat ramp, you can drop that anchor and float there and bob in the water and watch people water skiing and watch sailboats and boats coming into to the boat ramp and leaving, or people putting in their boats and people, and you see neighbors, and it's just a fun thing. Being by the lake is always a fun thing for me in the summer. I don't know. What does summer mean to you, to our callers out there?
Certainly, I always enjoy spending summer. We have some beautiful mountain lakes around here, and it really takes mid-June before those lakes heat up enough to get into, but the waterfalls are pouring into those lakes, and it's just beautiful and just pristine. And so I think it's summertime camping, campfires, and it just getting up, putting on your bathing suit, no makeup, some sunscreen, and just going out on the boat.
Yep, just simple. Camping on the beach, is that, you know, you live in South Carolina, right, ma'am?
Yes.
Have you been to Tybee Island?
I have not been to Tybee Island.
Tybee Island, right by Charleston. Tybee Island is by Savannah, Georgia. I've been thinking, I keep getting confused because they're south of Charleston, but Kiowa, I love Kiowa too, but I used to go to Kiowa, but Tybee Island in Savannah they have the turtles all over the place, most turtles I've ever seen. And I'm trying to remember if you can camp on the beach there or not. I don't remember. I don't know either. But camping on the beach, anyone who has the opportunity to do that, that's just a really cool thing to wake up to the coast and wake up to the water and all that. Just excellent. Summertime is always for us. I remember we would leave for trips and things early in the morning before the heat of the day, because when I was little, I remember we didn't have air conditioning, so it was hurry up and leave at, you know, before sunrise half the time, so we could get there before it was too hot in the car.
We did the same thing. We would get up at like 3 in the morning, and we would pack in the car and head off to Florida. And it never dawned on me why we did that, and now it just did, because there was no air conditioning.
Right. It'd be too hot. And
I told you I wasn't a physicist. I told you that.
I also remember that my parents would take those little milk jugs, and my mama would fill it with water and freeze it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have the big frozen milk jug thing, and that was the water for on the road. And it was just and as these kids now are doing, their last day of school, we used to have Olympic Day and all of that, and then it was like summertime and where are we going for vacation, and summer just seemed to last forever. I think I'm like quoting song lyrics now. I'm not trying to, but I just like fun summer trips and all that. So it's just a really cool time to travel and see folks all over the place. And defensive driving, though, man, that is something. I'm going to talk about defensive driving on the water and on land because I don't know what – I don't know, maybe it's all the political stuff, but people have seemed to get, you know, lost their mind, you know, with driving. You know, all the time I see so many stupid moves. And I was telling somebody earlier today that I have a new – phone charger that is a wireless charger that goes on the mount that goes on the windshield. And the nice thing is that when that thing's up there, I am not touching that phone. I'm not distracted. Keep your eyes on the road because I've just seen so many people out there just doing stupid things. And a couple good rules for people is, number one, give people so much room because that person behind you, they're not necessarily paying attention when you got to slow down for someone in front of you. You know, you got to really know what you're doing. And one of the things that my daddy always taught me was if you see someone do something stupid, stay away from them because they're probably going to do something stupid again. And I can remember that when I was 16 and he was first teaching me to drive the Suburban with a bass boat behind us. I mean, that's a lot of weight. That's a big rig to stop. And I'm glad that I learned a lot of those things from, you know, because it's to this day, I mean, I avoid awful wrecks. I'm, you know, I'm glad that I drive a big truck and I go slow and I just give people a lot of space. But it's on the water too. I've seen people who don't like take a boating safety course. If you don't know how to operate your boat, I don't know how people will learn that. But I was sitting at the boat ramp watching people, you know, where the, and not to pick on the wives, but it's a couple times I saw where husband, you know, backs the truck and the, you know, the wife's in the boat with the kids. And this one woman in this yellow boat was coming in like, she's going fast. I thought she's going to have to, you know, put it in reverse, but apparently they knew their trailer and they needed that much momentum. But, you know, you get, there's a lot of the boats out there these days are much bigger than they used to be. And I don't, you know, everyone seems to, you know, get the payment on the boat. Now, on these huge ski boats, they weigh a lot. They don't have brakes, but anyhow, let's shift gear to computer viruses. And my brother here, who's on the line with us, knows a little bit more about this. Matt, I'm just going to ask you, for, you know, I got this new computer, and I keep getting viruses that are popping up left and right. Sometimes it says, like, how do you know what's a real virus? Or when it's time to just power the computer down and power it back up. And if you do have a real virus, you know, what do you do? Do you go to Best Buy or do you call that phone number where they extort all this money from you? It's a big scam.
No. I've gone both routes, and I can tell you exactly what you do, which is a good thing that we all have, you know, our cell phones, which are basically, if not as powerful, more powerful than our home PCs or our laptops. So when I first got my new laptop, I hadn't owned one in quite some time. And just like with your new laptop, all of a sudden you get these viruses and things, and you're like, where is this? Where did it come from? And I was dumb enough to call one of those expensive companies that just extort money and don't do anything and actually install more viruses, which is actually typical. So the solution I found after arguing with the bank and removing the charges and arguing with the place, I realized, okay, this, you know, I still have these things on my computer. So I just went to my work computer and Googled everything on there. Most IT professionals nowadays, they learn the basics of computers, but honestly, they use Google to fix 90% of the problems. So if you see something like I had somewhat recently, it was this thing, it was an FBI warning went on my screen, and it froze the computer. And it's like, you have to pay this money or something. You know, it was warning, FBI has locked your computer. You've heard of things like that. So I just went on Google on a different computer, and it taught me exactly how to remove it from my laptop. So a lot of times it's good to have something like AVG, you know, your antivirus software, something that's known, you know, to be a good software, pay for that for like the basics. But a lot of the problems you're going to come up, just go to Google and look up how to clean up and then just describe the virus.
Well, and in addition to that, I'd suggest that anybody who gets a suspicious virus like that, you know, and some of them, you know, when I got my new computer, I had one, and literally I just went to the task manager, terminated the program and the computer is fine. So it may look like your computer is being taken over, but when you restart it, it's actually fine. I would always say, if anyone out there, I would say this to my own mother. You know, Mom, if you get a virus, call your sons, ask them, put it on Facebook, tell someone, you know, I need some help with the virus situation. Don't go call and give your credit card number, because there's scammers out there all over the place. So, again, if something goes wrong with the computer, I mean, there's so many ways that they can hack anything from our phones to our cars and this and that. But the, you know, the free software, I use AVG, and I use the free version. I haven't paid for antivirus software in years, and I've always been fine. But there's another thing, too. Ask other people before you go paying all this money for some of these. You know, sometimes you have people, I've known people who have had two or three different antivirus programs that they're paying for, and they're all kind of doing the same thing. It's kind of like hiring three different private security people to guard the same door. So it's food for thought. I wanted to move on and talk a little bit about the boy in the gorilla cage. I haven't really – does anyone know more than I do about this story and what happened? And, I mean, what I heard was that the boy fell into the cage and the gorilla went to, you know, see if the kid was okay and sort of like just kind of coddled him and gave him a hug. Now, I'm not saying I'd be thrilled if my boy was in there and a gorilla started giving my kid a hug. I'd probably freak out. But what happened with this?
I wrote up quite a bit. Go ahead. No, please go ahead, because I know very minimal about it. I know a little bit more than Nick, but please go ahead.
Oh, just I didn't look as much into it, but what I do know is the kid didn't fall all the way down. He hit some brush and things, and he was actually okay, kind of rolled in. He wasn't, like, hurt. And if you watch the video, anybody who knows animals, and I'm no gorilla expert, but it wasn't trying to hurt the kid in any way. And it went on for 10 minutes, and it wasn't trying to hurt him. And the problem is everybody's making all these conclusions, and I don't think that anybody is a zoologist or an expert on tranquilizer darts, you know, things like that. Like, maybe they really had to shoot it. But it's disturbing to me when stories like this happen and everybody goes to the defense of the gorilla. They're like, why did you kill the poor gorilla? But nobody's talking about the 65 people who were killed in Chicago last weekend. You know, what's a more important story? The whole story about the gorilla kind of bothers me, that everybody's all up in arms when this is a really small, isolated incident, and there's bigger problems to talk about.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at an article here about it, and, you know, the thing that strikes me, as you look at the video playing, there's a CNN article from today, actually, saying Cincinnati gorilla incident, that police are investigating the boy's family. I don't know. They're suing. I really hope that this isn't a suggestion that they coaxed the kid into jumping in there so they could sue the zoo for not protecting them. I don't know. It's an interesting case, but definitely the two sides of you know, every story here. You know, they talk about the gorilla, and the gorilla, I'll say this, it looks like it's not really hurting the boy too much, but, you know, sort of being like a parental type thing. But then you go, what happens if the zookeepers, the people come in and they try to take the boy away? Then the gorilla could freak out. And, you know, again, I don't know enough about it, but it was just an interesting thing.
I think everybody became very reactive very quickly. And what you had was a hysterical mob. And that puts pressure on anyone who has some authority to do something. And there was pressure, do something, do something, do something. I understand that. But again, we kind of go back to reactive versus kind of critical thinking and looking at what was the behavior of the gorilla. And
where were the zookeepers and where were the zoologists? Surely they were handlers on staff, and perhaps not. Perhaps that is an issue. The gorilla, I think, should be noted, though, is an endangered species. And I can't remember how old it was, 30-something years old,
I
think the gorilla
was.
I
saw something online today that said it was born in 1999. But that could,
okay.
That could be just a fake thing from Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
not
I also
sure.
Hear what the other caller is saying is that I think all of us have a need to voice what is important. And you know, I think you have to give, you know, your point is well taken. What about the people killed in Chicago?
I didn't even know about what happened to them. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know anything
Memorial
about it.
Memorial Day weekend, that's what happens in Chicago on Memorial Day weekend.
I've
you
just been
that.
Avoiding the news, unfortunately or not, but... and other things that are newsworthy, just because we only have a little short time left, just want to bring to people, you know, things that are going on. There's a new Roots documentary, not the same Roots as many of us watched in elementary school or junior high, whenever it was. I think I was in high school when we watched Roots, but there's a new make of it, and it's controversial, of course. I think it's something that is good to watch. I think it's history. Another thing that's in the news, passing personages, we always do here. Marcus Gordon, who was the judge in the Mississippi burning trial. He was 84. He passed away recently. The state judge who presided over the Mississippi burning trial, it was in 2005. You know, not a lot of people know about that. It was a cold case, you know, coming out of the civil rights era. The Mississippi burning mm-hmm. investigation and all that. I mean, there's a lot of kids, people nowadays, college students who've never heard of it. They don't know about it. Same thing with what we are, the Clinton cash story of Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. It brings to light a lot of suggestions about things that went on that for those of us who were, you know, following politics back when Bill Clinton was elected, a lot of that with Paula Jones and Whitewater and all that. I mean, that's all. Most people don't know about that. So, again, we always assume that people know their history and they don't necessarily know their history. So it's good to have your eyes and ears on a few of these things. Also talking about things that are not necessarily new but that are old, appreciating antiques. That's another good thing to do in the summertime, especially if you're trying to find something to do with relatives. Find a local antique store. Find a flea market. There's all sorts of fantastic things you can find at flea markets. Things that maybe used to be at grandma and grandpa's house and you haven't seen one of those in ages, and you start really getting into embracing, as you know, right now this month I have a new phone, a new computer, a new truck, all this new technology I'm trying to find out, and I just yearn for like an antique iron or something. Yeah. You know, just like going around and appreciating fine quality wood that we can't buy anymore, you know, things that last forever. My Samsung Galaxy phone only lasted for 3 years, and there's other stuff that's been around that's lasted hundreds of years. So really, I think the summertime, if you're looking for something to do, check out some antique stores, get into antiques. We had another segment tonight that one of our callers didn't make it to call in. We'll save it for next time. A friend of mine listened to a podcast about ex-spouses, ex-girlfriends, and ex-boyfriends. When is it okay to rekindle relationships with ex-spouses and so on and so forth? So very interesting thing. I don't know. I usually say I don't go backwards. I don't know. Caller, what do you think about that? If you're done with someone, are you pretty much done?
To me, I think that there are times in a relationship for a person's individual health that you have to make a defined black or white decision. I often use the phrase my dad taught me, a sharp knife cuts quick. And I tend to be like you, Nick. I think that if the relationship had enough problems to be terminated to start with, what benefit is there to go back? Because both people contributed to the demise of the relationship, even though it may have felt like more on the other person or the, you know, or the other. Ultimately, that is the way it is. Experientially, in doing therapy with people, the relationships that do tend to work are the ones that are unrequited love from like high school or college.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Thanks. You know, it's, you know, I always say the foundation of trust is something that mm-hmm. is significant. You know, when you talk about those relationships that we make, those loves that we find in high school or college, we don't seem to, it's not that we don't find people like that or fall in love like that again. It's that we're older, we're more mature, we have a more adult outlook on the world, and we're not swept away and caught up in it. But it's an interesting topic, and I'd like to, we'll probably put that on the hit parade for next week and see what my friend has to say about that. But that's all the time that we have for tonight. You know, so I guess good luck with State Farm. Good luck with all the graduates. Good luck with people not getting computer viruses, and stay away from gorilla cages.
Great. Have a great night. Thanks, everyone.
You too, ma'am. All right. Thanks, everyone. Be good to each other. We'll be back next week. This is Hal Another Radio Show. Thanks for sharing our shows in your social media programs, and you see Facebook and Twitter. We appreciate the support. See you all next weekend.
Yep.